Benfica Podcast is one of the founding members of Benfica Independent. Benfica Independent is an independent platform made by fans for fans. And in it, you can find our podcast along with many other podcasts, along with articles of opinion, video segments, and much, much more. We're also on Patreon at patreon.com/Benfica Independent with exclusive contents for our patrons.
Hasta que no estás aquí dentro no sabes la grandeza de este equipo. Sí, es un club que tiene una grandeza que no se comprende si no estás aquí dentro.
Son de una magia única, benfiquista, que solo nosotros sentimos así. Por muchos desgostos que possamos tener, valores más altos se levantan. O valor mais alto que se levanta em termos futebolísticos chama-se Benfica.
Quero o Benfica intimidar o adversário. Quero o manto sagrado entrar com vocês em qualquer estado e assustá-los, pá! É isso que eu quero!
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Talking to the Doll Benfica podcast. My name is Alfredo Fumasis. What's going on, everybody? Let us know how the sound is. Want to say hello to all the Freddies that have joined us. Guys, we're here early. Bruno Teixeira, Furioso, BFB, Flavio Ferreira, Redman21, Chico Marcelino, Kevin, Fabs5000. Let's see who else is. SLBEES. And Michael Machado, welcome everybody. Jewbox, hope everybody's is doing well. Smash the like button. That's right. Let us know how the sound is. Sound is good. Dave's here. Dave, what's happening, Dave?
What's going on, everybody? Like Michael Machado said in this chat, and you as well, Alfredo, smash the like button. I'm seeing two at the moment. Let's get those. Those likes, follows, subscribers.
Yeah,
do
Dave,
it all. Get the
Dave. Keep the Freddy's
notification bell.
Keep the Freddy's some company. I forgot to grab my tablet.
Yeah, no worries. Where's Cristiano? We'll see if he's here at some point. Smash the like button. What'd you guys think of the game? I already saw you guys in the chat here. This evening, already going through some mini therapy sessions about Archness and Roger playing, setting the lineup as he did. So we'll get into that here tonight.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we were hoping that Cristiano could join us, but unfortunately, he's not here yet. I texted him. There's no, I don't know how.
Cristiano's on his way to Saudi Arabia.
He's on his way to Saudi Arabia. He's going Anyway, here we are. On tonight's podcast, we will break down the Estrela da Amadora game, Benfica's home opener, and we'll look ahead to Benfica's trip to Cockland. Dave, how many cock jokes are we going to make today? What's the over-under?
Well, we already hit one, so let's say we'll set the number at 2.5.
Two and a half, yes. So here we are. Hope everybody's doing well. As you could see, episode 494 is what we're up to. We're almost up to 500 episodes. Here we are every week bringing you the latest and greatest on Benfica. As I mentioned, Estrela da Amadora, let's get into it, Dave. Quite an interesting lineup, and I'll ask you what you thought about the lineup when that came out. Kevin says Alfredo Mike is good. Dave,
yeah,
not bad.
Push the mic up closer here.
All right, there we go. So, so set up my whole Saturday, right? As I usually do, and what I usually do on game day, I set up my whole day around Benfica, the Benfica game, right? So if I have chores to to do, if I have to cut the grass, if I have to do work around the house. Everything is planned out around this Benfica game. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that kind of plan the same way that I do. But certainly an hour right before the show, as I'm getting settled in after doing my chores and some work around the house, the lineup comes up. And lo and behold, Samu Suarez is in goal. Ba Silva, Otamendi, and Auschnitz, Neves and Kokshu, Di Maria, João Mário, Rafa, and Cabral. So Samu Suarez, I think that there was some people that were surprised, some others probably not so much. And as it turns out, from what Bola was reporting, apparently Vlaco Dimus had a discussion, or an argument rather, with Roger Schmidt when he found out that he wasn't going to start. And he ended up being sent home or told don't dress or get undressed. Usually Benfica has three goalkeepers warming up. If you've been to Stade Luz during the warm-ups, that's how Benfica warms up, with three goalkeepers. One of them obviously doesn't dress, but there's always three warming up during that initial warm-up period. So as we found out, there was only two. There was Samu Suarez and Trubin. And I wasn't expecting Trubin to start. Samu Suarez wasn't expecting him to start either. But after the Bola reported that little incident, and I don't know if it was something that was planted by the club so that the club is controlling the narrative, or if it was something that, like, we would suspect, right? Because we've spoken here about Vlaco Dimus at Lent in terms of if there's a guy that comes in that's going to compete with him and he feels threatened for the job and he will eventually lose his starting spot, we knew it wasn't going to be a good situation for Vlaco Dimus. And certainly that is what we have run into now. We don't know the extent of it. Certainly the club hasn't come out and said that that Vlaco Dimus is being punished. There's rumors that he might be on the way out before the transfer window closes. But Roger Schmidt, just when he was asked about it in a post game conference, he said that we needed new energy and goal, and he felt that he needed to make a change. So apparently his mind was made up in terms of who was going to start against Estrela da Amadora, and Samu got the start. I didn't expect Trubin to start, like I said. And Dave, you and I were talking about this, and Trubin has been with the team a whole half hour. Certainly not the guy that you want to throw in goal, not knowing the movements, not knowing the dynamics of the team yet, not knowing his teammates, especially the defensive line that he has in front of him, was something that was always going to be a little tricky, I should say. Now, the other surprising start or appointment, if you will, was Auschnitz on the left as left back. Now he's played right back, center mid, right midfield, left back. And it begs the question, Dave, if we have Ristich ready to go, and I'm assuming that he's healthy, why isn't Ristich getting a nod?
Well, that's a question for Roger Schmidt. Roger Schmidt clearly doesn't have that same confidence in Ristich, even if that's his natural position, left back. If Roger doesn't have confidence in Ristich, as we clearly see in this match, then he doesn't count for Roger Schmidt. And I mean, me and you have discussed this. I think we're making something out of nothing. Here, we got a couple of days left still open in the market. We can go and look for another left back if Ristich is not in Roger's plans. To be honest, when I saw this lineup, the Samu thing caught me right off guard, that I didn't even notice where Arshinis was playing, because I'm so used to him being in the lineup. I didn't really even figure it out that he was going to be playing at left back. But the Samu starting in the lineup caught me off guard at first. But I think we're making something out of nothing here. It was one game. Obviously, while Juricic is injured, and if What's his name? Ristich doesn't have that confidence, or if Roger doesn't have that confidence in him, and he doesn't count, then get him out of the squad and get another left back in there.
Yeah,
but,
no.
For one game, while the market's still open, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, and look, it's not that I have a problem with Auschner's playing. Certainly, it's the question, right? If you have a willing and able left back on the bench who has been competing for their starting left back position, why would you play Auschner? Not to mention that Auschner and João Mário on the same side, on that left side, was like we were playing legless on one side. Every time Auschner got to the end line, he would just turn back because he didn't have a left foot to cross the ball.
Yeah, and if anything, João Mário doesn't somehow he still has a spot on this team. He must have those photos of Roger Schmidt somewhere, but he's really tailed off here. And if Roger's using that excuse of not starting Nedej because he's coming off the injury that kept him out of the Supertasa, and if that's it, then fine. I would hope that it's nothing more and there's nothing personal or something in terms of lack of confidence or those two not seeing eye to eye, because you could clearly see that Nedej in this team is something different when he's on the pitch.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if anything, I'm sure if Nedej was starting in that match and Auschner was at left back, it wouldn't have been as bad as it looked when it was both Auschner and João Mário on that left side.
Yeah, and the thing that I'm thinking, right? So if you're going to put Auschner, and I was telling you this, and maybe it's an internal message that Roger's trying to send, right? Meaning, look, Ristich was here last season. We didn't count too much on him. This season doesn't look like he's going to be the guy that I have confidence in. So I get that. Maybe it's an internal message that he's sending to Rui Costa. Let's get another left back that could compete with Jurasek, because quite honestly, I haven't seen a lot from Jurasek either. I'm not convinced by Jurasek. But I'm okay with Auschner playing a left back if that's how Roger wants to do it, right? Because albeit not a defender naturally, Auschner is a guy that could help with the buildup, that could help with the possession. But don't put João Mário, which is a guy, in front of him. Because now you got two guys that can't go, in terms of stretching out the game and giving Benfica more width on the field, those are not the guys that are going to do it. So put a guy on the left side that could keep that wing stretch. And I get it. Roger Schmidt explained the whole Nedej thing. You know, he was hurt for the Super Cup. We didn't want to rush him. He wasn't 100%, blah, blah, blah. But the guy clearly comes on and he changes the face of the game. So I don't understand what the hesitation is in terms of putting him on, even if you have to use him for the first 30 minutes to address the lack of depth that you have on that left wing with João Mário and Auschner.
But see, if I would rather him for the last 30 than the first 30. And if that's all, if you know you can only get a 45 or a 60 minutes, I don't even think we can get it. Well, based on Roger's accounts, that you can't even count on him because he's coming off this injury, then I would rather have him come off as an impact sub instead of beginning
Dave,
of the game. Because who's to say that things don't go well in the first half hour, and then who's your guy off the
right
bench, João Mário?
And I get it. And look, you could look at it in both ways, right? You could look at it that way. You could also say, man, we're playing Estrela da Amadora, newly promoted, right? And if this team is not good enough to be beaten up Estrela da Amadora by the time I decide whether or not Nedej should be thrown in there, or whether or not I decide to give Nedej more rest, right, since he's coming off of an injury, you could look at it both ways. Or you could look, let's give him 30 minutes, let's put this game away, and then maybe we'll put Sheldrup in there just to manage the rest of the game, or João Mário, whatever. But you can't play with those two guys on the left-hand side. You just can't. It doesn't work. It does not work in terms of Benfica being an attacking team. Now, if you're playing a powerhouse that on their right wing, they have guys that are super strong, that are guys that could change a game. I understand. Maybe those two guys kind of hold the fort positionally, don't let too much penetration. But we're playing against Estrela Amadora. We should have vertical guys that go forward, that could cross the ball. I don't know. It's one of those things that I looked at the lineup, I looked what was going on, and I said, this could be the beginning of the end for Roger Schmidt.
Don't. I already told you, our rivals are in much worse shape. They're probably thriving listening to this. Yes, this is the end of Roger Schmidt. We can't forget that this team was in much shambles before Roger got here, and in just one season he managed to turn the ship around. So the rivals up north are in much worse shape. They just lost their Portuguese legend to the Saudi Arabia.
The Portuguese legend.
And they might have their own coach who's on the way out. So please let them have the soap operas and the shenanigans. We don't need to put any fire there. It was one match against Estrela, and don't worry, there's no fire there. We don't have to put Roger on the hot seat yet.
Yeah.
If this is going down the season and we got a
Dave, I'm not saying I'm putting him down. I'm saying that this could be the beginning of the end. And
but don't even say it's the beginning, because it's not. It's not. There's nothing. I think this is the problem with Benfica. We need to create some sort of drama, or something's got to be wrong. Like, relax. It's the second game of the season. We need to take a deep breath. This is my channeling my positive.
Go ahead, Dave. Go ahead.
Here, it's second game of the season. We've already got the Supertaça, and we beat our rivals Porto. You would think that we're 0-3 to start the season, the way that some people have been on Twitter and just in this chat here. Don't worry, calm down. It's a long season. We got stuff to fix. Market's still open. Everything's going to be all right.
Think it is? Ah, okay.
Dave, I'm just saying, man. I don't want to be there. The one guy said,
there's
I told you so.
There.
But
he, nothing there.
Yeah, look, let's move on, right? Because you know the first half wasn't the best first half, even though we created chances. Saw Cabral. My opinion of Cabral, he looks heavy, bro. He looks heavy. He looks heavy.
Yeah. It's gonna be hard for him. He didn't have the preseason to integrate with the team, and now you're kind of
but he had the preseason of Fiorentina.
Pushing him there.
I know that he might
different style, different
right.
players.
I get that. I get, but to me, he just seemed heavy and kind of rusty. Preso de movimento, you know, yeah. when you're not completely fluid, when you're not completely agile. But there were some things I liked about him. I liked the physicality. I liked that one touch that everybody was impressed with on the left hand side. I think he's a guy that could beat up on center defenders. I liked what I saw, but let's hope that his physical and his stamina conditioning gets up there so we could use him. But I didn't dislike him. I didn't think that this guy is another Musa, because I think that the touch is there. I just think that the stamina and this conditioning is not there yet. As a matter of fact, I thought he was going to die when he came off the field. He was having trouble breathing. But certainly, you know, as I mentioned, Benfica created a couple chances in the first half, but didn't really put them away. You got that header by Ba in the 32nd minute. You got the Cabral with that shot in the 33rd minute, not too long after that Ba header. You got the Di Maria shot right at the end of the half. I thought that if Benfica had gone up 1-0 at the half, I thought that would have been fair, that would have been just, but it wasn't to be. 46th minute, Tino comes in, or at the beginning of the half, Tino comes in for Jornes, who already had a yellow. And things seem to have changed. In the 69th minute, Neres comes in for João Mário, and then things really did change. I wanted to say something about Florentino and Jornes. And you guys know, if you listen to the podcast, you know that I love both of those guys. I think that they bring a certain skill set to this Benfica team, to this Benfica lineup that is needed. Now, my biggest thing, and I don't know if this is popular opinion or not, or how many people have thought this, I think that Kökçü plays better with Tino than he plays with Jornes. So I don't know if you guys in the chat agree with me, but certainly there's a lot of times that you see both Jornes and Kökçü in the same areas of the field. So whether, and these guys have now had time to play together, they train together, they work out together, they should know more or less what areas belong to who, and who should be moving into what spaces within that midfield area. I just think that Dinu, not only does he release Kökçü, gives more freedom to Kökçü, but he's also much better in terms of pressing much higher than Jornes is. Jornes doesn't have that pressing ability, even though he's very, he chases people. He's like a little flea that won't leave guys alone. But I think that Tino, in terms of the high press, I think that Tino is much better to play with Kökçü. And I think that we started seeing, it was probably the best game I've seen Kökçü play. And a lot of it came in the second half when Tino was on the field. Now, the whole Neres thing, man, and I think that, you know, only a blind man, and even a blind man should be able to see this, is like when Neres comes in, it's automatically is a different Benfica. It's a different Benfica game. He's making things happen. He's making runs. He's running at defenses. He's the type of guy that doesn't need a lot of space to run at defense, unlike Rafa, who needs some space in front of him. So if defenders are smart, they're going to give Rafa very little space. When he gets the ball, they're going to give him very little space for him to turn and face. But Neres is different. He could operate on little pockets of space, and he's really good. And right off the bat, you know, Benfica had been struggling, and I really thought, man, this is going to be another struggle in terms of putting the ball away. Neres doing his things. Thankstead coming in the 78th minute for Cabral, and then the first touch by Thankstead, 1-0, feed off of Neres on Thankstead's first touch. So the ugly duckling that apparently got skipped on a pecking order by Cabral, now he's been with the team, he's been working out with the team, he's in condition to play, but yet Cabral gets the start, which I don't have a problem with. The ugly duckling comes in and saves the day for Benfica, because that first goal, regardless of Benfica won 5-0, 2-0, 3-0, 6-0, that first goal was the all-important goal, the goal that Benfica really needed. And Thankstead, you know, it almost reminded me of Seferovic, Dave. The ugly duckling.
And he gets the job done, right? Hopefully he doesn't have as many misses as Seferovic, and he's more efficient with his goal opportunities, like he was in this touch here, right? That obviously that's all created by Neres, but he still needs to get a proper foot on that and a proper touch. So yeah, good comparison there on the Thankstead Seferovic angle.
Never thought the ugly duckling. How many times did and it wasn't last year, but the year before that Seferovic would come off the bench and it would help us a little bit.
Since he moved in 2017 or 2018, he always had strikers ahead of him in the pecking order, and not only until that season where João Félix came along did he make that his position. But yeah, Seferovic was always number two or three in the pecking order of that position.
Yeah, so we put the game away for good in 90 plus with Rafa putting away another Neres pass. I think that everybody that watched the game knew that Neres was the key to Benfica's win. He was a guy that changed the game. And certainly there's a lot of people saying, myself included, that he needs to start. he has to start, regardless of whether he plays on the left because Di Maria likes the right, or whether he plays on the right and Di Maria likes the left, and whether they switch, so on and so forth. Neres has to be one of the first names on your lineup, because he's just the guy that is Benfica's most unpredictable and dangerous player right now. And he does it with a certain level of consistency. Now, I don't know if not getting the starts will be something that will allow him to have consistency and momentum into the season. I don't think that Neres is a player that you should use off the bench. Albeit, I do understand when he's deployed like that, right? So it's much easier for Neres to go at a defense that has 60, 70 minutes on their legs already. 60, 70 minutes that they may have spent, you know, just running around chasing the ball, defending against Benfica. And certainly, you know, with Neves' strength and speed is something that he has an advantage of against defenders that may be a little bit more, you know, worn out, if you will. But I think that that Neves needs to start. And I think that everybody agrees with that. So Roger explained it, that he didn't feel that he was 100% to go the 90 minutes. So he gave him the last 30 minutes, whatever it was. So now this week I'm expecting Neres to start. What about you, Dave?
Yeah, I would expect the same thing, unless there's something from the medical bulletin that we're not privy to. But like you said, I think everyone here would agree there's no Benfica's strongest 11 has to include Neres on there. So if he's healthy, he's 100% ready to go. I would hope it's not, you can't expect with Roger. I know everyone's got their bow and arrows ready to point them at him, but you would hope that David Neres is in the starting 11 here.
Yeah, let me read
the... Do you think it's curious that the... Or a little suspicious that the team posted that video of him today? Like, for his 50th appearance?
Dave,
like, it's
Dave,
some
Dave,
grand
Dave.
Number.
You just criticized me for saying it's the beginning of the end for Roger Schmidt. Look, I think that Benfica just can't really look at that and think that this is staged or... I know that Paul Rezende was saying that this was something that was recorded even before the Estrela game. Whatever it is, just take it for what it is. This is his 50th game. Maybe he needs a little love.
Who,
you know?
Who was the last player that they did that for a 50th appearance?
I don't remember.
100? Okay. 100? Okay. A nice round number. 50? I can't tell you the last player. When I saw the video, I thought it was... like a goodbye, like he was leaving video, but
I don't know. Look,
if that's the way that the club wants to put it, that he's here, he's not on the move out. Sure, but that was a little.
But here's a little
odd.
Here's the how I would reply to that. Right, I think everybody agrees that Benfica has done an extremely good job in terms of stepping up their social media game, their behind the scenes footage, these little vignettes with players doing things, with players playing games or players discussing. I think that Benfica has done a very good job. So I think that maybe this is part of it. But Dave, we'll have to keep our eye out in terms of who's the next guy that's going to hit 50. Will he have the same treatment as Neres?
I'll have to compile my list and
Dave, keep an eye on that. We're going to have to keep an eye on that. I'm going to read some comments here. Carlos Amaru, Carlos, welcome. We clearly need a left back that inspires confidence with Roger at least. Furioso says, Alfredo, name, you should name the channel the same name as the podcast. Makes it easier to find the algorithm. I get it. I've been meaning to change it. Roger did say he's going to experiment more with the lineup, says Sergio Cerqueira. SLBEES, why isn't Tino playing over Neves? Neves isn't ready or even as good as Tino. I don't think it's a matter of being as good as Tino already. I just think that he offers something that's different. And I do think, as I mentioned here, that he matches up, Tino matches up better with Kokshu than Neves does. Sergio Siqueira says, I think Roger likes Neves' work rate over Tino. Gary B says, Roger don't take no shit. PJO says, it seems like Roger Schmidt is experimenting with the lineup. That's why Auschwitz played 90 minutes at left back. Redman says, Samu is the new Onana. SLBES, Neves isn't even a defensive midfield. Kevin says, Roger took a page out of JJ's old playbook, inventing new positions for players, i.e. Frederick. And who can't forget David Luiz, also at left back. Bruno Teixeira says, I think Tino should be in the other spot, fight between Neves and Kokshu. I agree with that. The situation with Audi is effed up. I like Roger, but blaming Audi for the three goals was low class. I don't know. So I don't know that he blamed them. I think his exact words were that we needed new energy in goal.
Yeah.
Now, if you watch these, all these shows, whether it's CMTV, whether it's CNN, PT, whatever these shows are watching, the narrative from our opponents, and hear me out, the narrative is that they're making Vlatko Dimus a victim. That's the spin that they're creating to divide us, to divide Benfiquistas, right? Because a lot of Benfiquistas are going to be watching, you know what, that Vlatko Dimus is a victim in this. I don't think that Roger Schmidt ever said he's at fault in all three goals, but certainly he did say we need a new energy. And every coach has that right to change a position, change a starting lineup based on what he feels is best for the team. He gets paid to make those decisions. Kevin says, Ristich knowing that he wasn't start must have been a gut punch. He's not horrible left back, honestly. I don't think he's bad either. I think that he's been at the same level as Jurisic. Michael Machado, Roger sipping that new Kool-Aid where you play center mid as an outside back to then come central into the middle to create overloads. Could be. PJL, Roger's experimenting with the lineup. If Jurisic or Ristić get hurt, you can trust Auschwitz at left back. I think you could trust Auschwitz at any position at this point. Left back, center back, mid, center mid.
He'll be center forward. He'll take Odysseus' position too as backup keeper once he's out the out the door.
I heard that he's played goalie also. I don't know. Bruno Teixeira says the good side of it's that Auschwitz offers more teamwork. I get it. Furioso says, at home, we should start Maria and Neres. Too much balancing of the team by Roger. I get it. I understand this. And if Neres is not okay, put in Sheldrup. I thought Sheldrup showed well in preseason. Carlos Amaro says, João Mário is a respected captain in the locker room. Roger's trying to manage the locker room egos. Yeah, I get that. Natural Fire is here. Welcome. Neres over João Mário, that's not even a debate, says SLBES. Maybe in the champions or versus big teams, balance the act. Otherwise, Maria one wing, Neres on the other. Furioso says, Sergio Cerqueira, João Mário needs to take a seat. I get it, man. All of you guys are on that same page. I think those guys need to start at home, especially at home. Dave, 2-0. Most important, 3 points. After dropping points at Bessa, we needed these 3 points against Estrela Amador in a packed stadium. Dave, stats on this game so we can move on.
Yeah, thanks, Dad. Opened up his account as his goal account as a Benfica player. And Rafa, he loves the month of August and September when the weather is hot. He's on fire here to open up the season. Has scored in consecutive games to open up the season. And out of Benfica's 4 goals this season, he's had 2 of the goals, and he's had an assist on the other one.
Yeah. Yeah, Carlos is saying Rogers' criticism was absolutely appropriate. There was nothing low class about it. Laughable to call it that. I think our opponents are making a big deal out of it. And if you think
That's
about
why
it,
I said, don't feed into it. Don't,
yeah,
there's no fire here. There's nothing wrong. They're looking at something here.
And if you think about it, right? Whether you think it's disrespectful or whether you think it's bad to call out the player. And look, we have a German in front of our team. Germans are very cold, very logic, very calculated. They're going to tell you like it is. There's no romanticism. There's no sugarcoating it. It's a German. He's going to give it to you like it is. Learn to accept it and respect it. That's the style of communication that he has. All right, moving
Last
on.
I checked, we were in a they're in a results based industry, right?
Right. He gets paid to make the decisions. If the team does not perform, he's on the hot seat. So guess what? You got to make moves to make sure that the team is put in the best position to perform and get the results. Nothing else. You know, they're professionals. You know, when Flaco Lemos needed a cat pulled out of the tree, Benfica was there. We expect them to be respectful towards the coach's decisions. Simple. Very simple.
We can always go back to it is what it is.
It is what it is. Yeah, you don't want the it is what it is, man. I'm tired of those times that it is what it is. The thing is that we have a coach that we pay a lot of money to make decisions. Tough decisions. A lot of them. Right? And we have to respect his decisions. Because at the end of the day, he's the guy that's going to fall. All right. Sorry about the cough. Moving on. Benfica will travel to Cockland. Was it the number two, Dave?
That's number two.
Benfica will travel to Cockland to play Gil Vicente, or also known as Barcelos, in the third round of the Portuguese league, the Betclic League, Saturday, 8:30. Up north, as I mentioned. And Dave, what's Gil Vicente up to these days?
They opened up the season with a victory, a 5-0 victory against Portimonense, and then followed that up last weekend with a loss to Guimarães, a 2-1 defeat there. But historically against Gil Vicente, we've got 36 wins, 7 draws, 6 defeats in the previous 49 meetings. Our last 10 have gone our way, 9 wins with a lone defeat in February of 2022.
Yeah, Furioso Paulo Tomás. Get it, man. I didn't know you by Furioso, but Paulo Tomás I do. Yeah, look, another important game for Benfica up north. Cabral will get the start. Does Samu get the start, or does Trueman get the start, Dave?
Good question. I would think Trueman at this point. He's got another week, so that would be another week and a half of playing with the team. I'd like to see what he can bring to the squad, but I'm good if he has to go back to Samu, and maybe after the international break, he starts Trueman. But I'm good with either one.
Does Ristić get the start, or does Auschnitz get the left back start?
If he didn't get the start at home, I don't know. I think at this point it's Auschnitz until we get another left back. I think
that's a shame.
I don't know what Ristić would have to do. I guess at this point I'm not even gonna say it because I don't want to jinx the guy. But yeah, I think. Ristić is on the way out.
Yeah, chat, let me hear you. Samu or Trubin to start against the Cox. Be interesting. I think that Cabral gets some under the rep, especially because Musa is still serving his suspension. It'll be his last game.
Was it two-game suspension for the straight red, right?
Yep. I think Cabral gets another start, another week of work, some conditioning. But what do you guys think in the chat, Samu or Trubin? Sergio Cerqueira says Samu for now. Michael Machado says there's no way you bench Samu. Yeah, I think that everybody, PJO, Samu starts. Yeah, I think that I'm with you guys. I think that Samu continues. So we'll see. We'll see. But I think that if Lakolimus goes, I don't think it'll be too long before Trubin is in the lineup again. PJO says it's
a very
best.
tough month to open up the season. The schedule makers were not kind to Benfica.
The schedule makers to draw, Dave. What kind of fool do you take me for? You think people made up their schedule for Benfica?
I'm just saying that it was a very tough month here to open up the season. We already dropped points against Boavista. Gil Vicente away is never easy. And then Guimarães before the international break. To mind you, it's at home, but they're never a slouch either. So,
yeah, look, Samu didn't have a lot of work. But I did like the fact that he could play with his feet. Very impressed by the fact that he could play with his feet. Didn't have a lot of work. But yeah, I think that he gets the start. SLBES says Trubin will get the start. I think it's too early. I think we'll all agree. But another key game for Benfica. And look, I didn't need to suffer this last game against Estrela da Amadora till the end, man. Please don't let this be another season of suffering. I'm getting choked up, Dave.
Don't cry about it, please.
Yeah, I can't handle another season of suffering.
But I think we do a little bit. We do it to ourselves. Like, there's nothing here with, and I think we're falling into that trap of our opponents wanting to put that fire where there is and wanting to feel bad for Odie and Rogers, now the bad guy. early times here. Let's get on the same page, fight the fight, and we'll be celebrating the 39th championship at the end of the season.
Dave, I'm good with that. As long as Roger Schmidt doesn't invent, just get it together. You know, just play the people. Play the players that are supposed to play.
But if he doesn't trust them, if he doesn't have the confidence, or if there's clearly something there with Ristich that he doesn't believe in him, so he doesn't count. Okay, so he's using Arshness there in that position to as a temporary gap. Obviously, nobody's expecting him to play him the rest of the season in that spot. But market's still open for another week and a half. Get another left back. Maybe consult with Roger. Maybe he's got a couple of
he's got a couple of guys in Holland.
Yeah, that he can go poach and go on from there.
Look, biggest thing is that I think that we have the best squad, deepest squad that we've had in years, right? 100%. Aside from the left back position, which to me right now is still pretty iffy. I'm okay with Ba. I'm not his biggest fan. But also Ba, all we have.
But we haven't seen he's gotten a couple of knocks here or there too. So if he goes down, we were talking about this before.
We got João Vitor.
Live. João Vitor, are we confident in his abilities at right back? I'd like to get another true right back in that position, just in case that happens. But
yeah, could
we'll
be
see what happens.
Could be, or maybe there's an adaptation going on right now in the we got Auschnitz that could play right back also, Dave. No, let's not forget that.
Of course.
So if we don't have João Vitor, we have Auschnitz. But certainly, you know, look, I think I was done with suffering, especially with the squad that we have. We shouldn't be suffering against Estrela da Amadora at Estádio da Luz. We really shouldn't. So, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. But definitely, you know, let's not make shit up, Roger, please. Play the guys you're supposed to play. if guys are out of form, sit him down. If João Mário's not the player, sit him down. I know that he has a soft spot for João Mário and Auschwitz. It seems like those two have to play all the time. And I don't think they fit. I don't think both of them could play. I can understand one of them playing because he has to provide some kind of a balance, but I don't get it. But yeah, our opponents are, especially Porto, struggling a little bit, losing clearly their poster boy.
The goal point player of the decade.
The goal point player of the decade. Portugal national team legend.
His citizenship didn't get converted to Saudi when as a part of the move.
I have no idea. Yeah, SLBES has best squad since 91/2 players for every position. Yeah. With the difference that left back position, I would be okay if we had a strong guy and then a guy that's mediocre to average. But we have two guys that haven't convinced me yet. Ristich certainly hasn't convinced Roger Schmidt. So, I don't know, man. But I'm excited for the season. I'm excited for the winter. I keep saying winter. I'm excited for the transfer window to close. Do you know when that closes, Dave? Is it on 31st of August or?
It's usually around that time, but they've been playing around with the dates.
I know that some countries do have some extended deadlines, or I don't know. But yeah, I can't wait for that to close, so there's some stability within the squad. I don't know if there's still guys that are thinking about making a move or listening to agents' offers, whatever. But certainly, I can't wait for it to end and so we could go on with the season. But please, I don't want to suffer like I suffered against La Madura anymore. We're better than that. So please, Roger.
But I'm gonna be the bearer of bad news.
Go ahead.
That's all being a part of a Benfica fan here. We are gonna suffer. There's gonna be more of those games here to
not with the German.
Pardon?
Not with the German. That's why we went to get the German.
Hey, there was games down the stretch last season where
I know you're so stubborn with always. João Mário, Rafa, Gonçalo Ramos went through the worst period of form, and yet they were getting the call every time. But anyway.
At that point, we didn't have, I don't know, who was the depth to come take those guys out of those
Well, that's positions. The thing. That's the thing, because somebody asked him if there will be more squad rotation this year round, or that he always use the same number of guys, and he said should change. But anyway, that is all we got. 50 minutes in. Sorry that it's not an hour, but that's all we really got. And when Cristiano's not here, it's usually shorter. Thank you all the Freddies that kept us company. There's quite a few of you in there.
And smash the like button.
Smash the like button, yeah, and subscribe if you haven't. I do plan on changing over the channel to Benfica Podcast, which I have it. Maybe episode 500 will be the first one out of there. That's all we got. Thank you very much. We'll be back next Tuesday. We'll break down this Gil Vicente game, and we'll look ahead to Benfica's next game. Thanks, everyone. Later.